Friday show, Sports Cards Nonsense, brought to you by The Ringer.
We're just recording. Give a guy a warning.
Nope,
man.
I told you I was angry today. I wasn't until this stupid stuff, but that's fine. We can't talk about that anyways. I don't want to get fired.
I mean, what are you saying? Are on the brink. People keep talking about it over at Spotify.
Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, Spotify. Follow us anywhere you listen to stuff and talk and see things.
Oh, my God. Promote something, for goodness sakes.
I was in a decent mood. Here's the other thing that's irritating me. Jesse knows this. One of my biggest vices, I would say, I'm a busy man. There's a lot going on in life. A couple businesses we're running. There's things happening.
I am a big fan
of being on the phone. Two places. I do all my talking in two places. One, toilet. Two, shower. Those are the two. You got free time. You might as well.
He spends a lot of time in there.
Happen to be having a conversation with Jesse today when I was in the shower.
Where we have our best conversations.
Phone went ahead and fell into the water. Speaker totally jacked up. Fun fact for you, the first time Simmons called me to actually hire us, he was a little early on his phone call. Thanks for that one, Bill. Time change, whatever. Richard, I was in the shower. I had to shut the water off for him, though. You do not get that courtesy.
I don't get that courtesy. That's fair.
So things are falling apart anyways. The phone isn't working. We have a show to do. We started 10 minutes late because we were yapping early, which irritates me.
Let's talk about all the good things.
Go ahead. Start naming them.
Waiting. No. You go first.
No, you go. You don't bring Corey here. The producer's got some.
Here's a good thing. We got a great show in store for you today, folks.
It's going to be an average show. Here we go.
Average.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
Average at best.
Are we doing big picture or are you going to review?
Just start. I don't know.
Let's do big picture. MLB, NBA, NFL. We just got a whole lot of catching up. No huge story.
Just quick hits. There's some big stories in there, but nothing crazy outstanding. We're going to do a 10-minute segment. So just kind of quick hits. And we are going to talk, by the way, if Jesse is prepared. You're going to see the intelligent side of Jesse today. Sports is not his thing.
You're talking me up way too much.
But the financial side of things is. You'll average be average like the show is average, and that's fine. He's going to talk a lot about the Topps going public thing, the Brady NFT, that scene. That's all Jesse's world, so we'll let him kind of dominate that after. Just some quick notes, quick hits around the league. NBA stuff first. KD back on the court last night.
Hello.
Makes this little man feel like he's 5'9". I'll tell you that right now.
That's pretty exciting.
Big news having him back. It's going to have big hobby implications as well. He was 5 for 5, put up 17 points, limited minutes. He had like 5 or 7 assists, 5 or 7 rebounds. Actually looked pretty good. And with Harden being out for a little bit of time, you know, he's going to be able to find his offensive groove quick, I think. I'm excited. I have a ton of money invested in KD. I have not seen his prices as of this morning, Thursday morning, when we're recording the show. I think there's probably still time to buy him. I think his prices will steadily rise as he's on the court. They held him out forever, too. Sounds like the reasoning was, hey, better safe than sorry. Let him get fully recuperate before bringing him back. And then they're going to just slow play him with the minutes. Like I said, last night was under 20 minutes. I think it's a perfect storm. Dude comes back.
Do you think with Harden out, like he kind of, this is like his opportunity to really shine?
Because no one else
showing him up?
Yeah, he's going to shine either way. He's the best player on the team. Harden's been unbelievable. Durant is a better player overall than Harden. And Harden has already said, too, when Durant is on the floor with him, he knows I need to become the assist man. And KD is the guy scoring 30, which is actually the first time I had anything good to say about Harden was after he came out and said that. So I think Harden knows his role, but I just think it'll be good. Just no pressure to. The Nets are going to be 1, 2, or 3 in the East. I'm not sure it really matters a whole lot to them where they go in. You know, those three teams have set themselves apart from the everybody else. 4 through 10 is going to be kind of a mismatch. I mean, that 4 through 10 literally could go anywhere. But yeah, him coming back is huge. Big game last night too, Suns and Jazz. We talk about Donovan Mitchell all the time. The game went to OT. Mitchell hit a big time three to push it there. They got beat at the end, but. Devin Booker, here's another reason I feel like Donovan Mitchell is underrated. And somebody brought this to our attention, an anonymous source. We'll call him BB. He knows who he is.
You know what? That's too obvious. Let's just go ahead and call him Brian Burrow. Now no one's going to know.
I don't even know who you're talking about now. He made the point, too. You know, we often say market really doesn't mean a whole lot with in terms of hobby value. In general, it doesn't. I think the NBA might be the one where it has the most impact because we see stars in football. Herbert playing for the Chargers. That's a very meaningless market in football. I know it's LA, but nobody cares about the Chargers out there. Joe Burrow being in Cincy, great example. Trevor Lawrence is going to go to the Jags. He's going to sell through the roof. Wanda Franco in baseball, the Rays. Vlad, you know, Tatis. All these guys playing in relatively small market teams, at least in terms of hobby. Donovan Mitchell still sells crazy cheap. I think some of that has to do with Utah. Some of that, though, is, you know, that point does carry over. I think Mitchell is more of an exception because the dude on the other side of the court last night, Devin Booker, who honestly, if you ask me right now who I'm starting a team around, I would take Mitchell. I think they're very close in terms of overall skill. I think Devin Booker's probably a better pure scorer. I just like Mitchell. I've seen him in the playoffs step up his game. I'm a big Donovan fan. He's also younger. And what's interesting about those two, Booker, PSA, again, just to use the PSA 10 prism, Booker outsells him 2-1. Wow. So, and Phoenix is not exactly this unbelievable market. So, awesome game to see those two, you know, face off last night. Those two guys are studs. I think there's room for growth with both of them. But again, just another example of there's a comparable player to Donovan Mitchell who outsells him 2-1. Some of that is because of the lower pop. It's an older product. I believe Booker was 2015 as opposed to 2017. Even still. Pop counts on Prism don't. Show me another spot where that makes any difference. Luka has 80 million.
What does it take then for Spida to finally have his prices raised? I don't understand.
I think it's going to happen this year. I think if they go into the postseason and win a series or two, I do finally think we'll see the Spida, and I think they're going to. You know, again, they have to avoid the Lakers. Weird matchup. You probably want to go in one out west so you can have a couple easy rounds. I think that's all it takes. I think this will be the year we finally see him make the jump and sustain. There's also never been a ton of hype around Donovan Mitchell. And last year when there was, he got a crazy amount of hype in the Denver series, but then they got eliminated. So it was like unbelievable hype right to offseason. Mm-hmm. You know, if they win that Denver series, then it's like a couple unbelievable games in a row. He put up 40 and maybe even 50 once or twice. Dude went absolutely nuts. If they win that series, then it's like, okay, couple days off, big series coming up against LA. Could have been crazy. So I do think Mitchell finds it this year. I just think it's not going to happen until postseason. But again, I just think that's a good example. Selling for half of Booker. Nobody thinks Booker's twice the player that Mitchell is. I mean, I don't, you know, I would take Mitchell outright anyways, but
okay.
Anyways, I had a couple other quick notes. Wall Street Journal had an article this morning, actually. It's like, little did the Nuggets know they were drafting an MVP with the 41st pick to all about Joker. Nikola Jokic.
You knew something about that.
Just kind of neat to see the Wall Street Journal. I was right on the main page of their website. Just kind of popped up on my feed today. Good for Joker prices. Another guy who has not moved a ton. I just sold a flawless auto of his. It was a PSA 10, second year, not even a rookie. He doesn't sign a ton of stuff anyways. That card, when I bought it 2 months ago, was maybe $500. I moved it at an $800. I mean, $800, no problem. And I think it probably goes up from then. I've just been selling off quite a bit lately. But good to see some mainstream stuff for Joker happen at least.
Thoughts? Again, I want to clarify why you've been selling off, not because of your thoughts on the market. But
I've been buying more monsters.
You've been buying more monsters. You also have a personal
expense.
I'm going to try to buy my wife a house.
We need a house for the dogs.
About it.
We need a yard. Well, you just asked me why I'm doing it. What do you want me to do?
No one said specifics. I said a personal purchase. Make us all feel bad that we can't sell cards and buy a house with the money. Jeez.
Well, stand down, child.
You know what?
I'll be
honest with
you.
Where's my money on contenders?
2020 contenders.
It better spike.
It was a heck of a buy when you got it. It's even an even better buy now. And we're closer to the season.
Who wants to buy some cases?
You're going to be excited. You're going to make money. I still have those in the attic. 2020 contenders and Prism are the two I put away.
It's going to pop, people.
The other one, Paul Pierce, we're going to touch on the news real quick. He came out like with Instagram Live that's been 3 or 4 days ago now, I guess, like with strippers and a whole thing. Not a good look.
Not a good look.
not a great look. And he got fired from ESPN pretty soon thereafter. People did start asking, is this going to affect the hobby value? I'll be honest with you, guys who are buying sports cards, I think they were impressed with Paul Pierce going live. Card
value goes up.
I mean, did anybody think like, oh, you know, he's not a role? Like, did anybody think if Paul Pierce was the role model in the first place, it's probably an issue. I mean, does anybody know the guy?
Like, if his video was him doing charity work, his values would have gone down.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the fact he got fired, and I still think his prices jump in September when he goes to the Hall. I think we see kind of a hold until then. And the Hall of Fame bump in September. I don't think this means anything. Speaking of guys who are not on the rise in price.
Let's hear about it.
Ferdinand the Bull, Mr. Tatis.
And he's been doing so well.
Well, he played
preseason he was doing so well.
He ripped his shoulder apart. So, they said no surgery, probably rehab a month-ish. I think that's very speculative even now, but... it seems like it was almost like a lingering injury. Do me a favor, pull up Indy's numbers. The intern did some. I had him pull some kind of before and after numbers. I'll say this: there was a major sell-off the night of the injury, which was it Tuesday he got injured? If you can find the date of the injury, I know it happened after we taped our last show because it's something we didn't talk about. Feel like it was Tuesday night.
It says 1 day ago, 2 days ago. So it would have been Tuesday. Yep.
Yeah. Just a swing, non-contact injury, just swinged. It looked like he broke his wrist. His wrist moved Gumby. Ow. It was not a good look.
Only a month of rehab?
Ended up being something in his shoulder. And again, it was like something kind of like a nagging thing from preseason even.
That's not really a good look. Early on. That is concerning.
For a kid, I just anything, you know. Kind of like the old adage, like anything with joints, it's never a good thing. I know, you know, sports medicine's come way miles from when I was a kid. But to see a young dude kind of had some nagging stuff is weird. In a non-contact injury, it was gross. I felt bad. He literally just dropped right to his knees. My favorite part, I think they were playing the Giants. Buster Posey kind of like looks at him and just throws the ball to third.
Oh, like, come on, Buster.
Not that Posey's like a nurse out there, but it was kind of funny. He's like, all right, Posey's been down the injury road before anyways. So what do you have for numbers on Tatis before and after?
Yeah.
Indy just kind of the mainstay stuff.
I want to point out, too, Indy doing a great job. You know he's doing good when you have enemies, Indy. You have one enemy out there. I will not say who.
We'll tell him privately. I like that I can text Indy at 1 a.m. Be like, hey, we need this, and he does it.
That's what's amazing. He's never not available. All right, Indy, here we go. Your numbers for Tatis. We're looking at the 2019 Topps Chrome PSA 10.
Okay, hang on. Okay. So those were doing 450 to 465 before.
Yes. Yeah.
For sure.
Even got up to 500 at one point.
Okay, that's probably an outlier sale. So call it 460 to 475 before injury. What are they doing now? Are they still doing four?
Oh, God. Yeah, right. 330, 350.
Really? On Chrome?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
I think other people see the same thing. Young, joint injury, they're concerned.
So I will say this. I want to review the other numbers. Tatis, though, is a guy, long-term, I wouldn't touch. But like, if his numbers go any further... That's another guy we're going to talk about 2 or 3 weeks from now. Like, hey, he's getting ready to start rehabbing. Load up on him. Because the hype of him coming back is going to be crazy. Happened last year. He got injured. His prices spiked not long after because, again, it dropped a little bit. People loaded up. It then kind of hit new highs. He'll be a short-term buy at some point. Just depends on what the injury is. All right, so Topps Chrome is down, 30%? More than 30. I mean, 450. Yeah. Sheesh. Okay. Yeah. What else you got?
We got 2019 Topps, so this is not the Chrome.
It's just PSA a paper 10. Card. It's out of 2019 Topps Series 2.
Yep.
So those were doing 290 to 305 right before that.
Yes. Yeah.
What are they doing now?
Look at this report? How do you know?
No, but those are so all well? Over Facebook. Those are Tatis stuff is everywhere. Are they doing, 2.25?
A little above. They're about 240 to 250.
Oh, so those have only dropped not even 20%.
Yeah, not a bad drop for those.
I mean, quite frankly, I'd buy the Topps Chrome then. 35% drop. I'd buy that before this, but okay, but a noticeable drop. Does he have any 2016 stuff? His first prospect stuff?
Yeah, he's got.
I didn't open this email, so
we've got a Chrome Auto, and we've just got the Chrome Base.
The Chrome Auto, I want to know about.
Auto, there's a pretty low pop, by the way. There's only 178.
What is the Auto, by the way? Is it PSA 10?
This is a PSA 10. We are looking at...
Man, what were they doing?
So, four? Sales before the injury... Oh, this is a PSA 10 refractor.
Let me see. Count.
Base Auto... Oh, he's actually got a few numbers here. Okay, so the PSA 10 base auto, 8,300.
Sheesh.
The, I'm trying to see if he's got numbers after the injury. It doesn't look like there's been a sale after the injury for the base.
So let me say this. This is the only thing I saw. I know base 9510s. So that same card graded. Does he have those on there?
Yes.
What does he have for before? Give me the before the injury sales on those.
The just before injury doesn't make sense because it's showing 3,100 for the 9510. Then it shows, unless he's referring, even though he's got this on here, I thought it was as base, but he's got it as 10.5 for the 9510. That must be for the green. So then he doesn't have, we don't have the base.
Okay.
For post injury.
What was the, okay, but before pre injury was 31.
Yes.
They'd got as high, yeah, because on Facebook, 32, 33 in the rooms. I'll say this. So Dibs dropped one yesterday for 2,800.
Oh, that's a little bit more realistic, though. Right?
Yeah, so if they're at 2,800, it makes me think they're probably 2,500. yeah, I think you're probably going to see those below 2,500 now.
Oh, okay.
That's the type of stuff that scares me, though. Like, cards that big can be a little bit more difficult to move anyways. So when his prices do kind of bottom out and we start to say, hey, he's rehabbing, it's not going to be long term, I'd go up to the Topps Chrome. I would find whichever one of these, when the dust settles,
what has dropped
the biggest percentage. I would, because again, sure, I'm not saying put in a vault, but like for 2 months and he comes back and hits a couple home runs, I would absolutely load up on guys like that. Yep, no question.
Another one that's dropped about 25 to 30% is the 2016 Bowman Chrome base. So not the non-auto.
So just his first Chrome card.
Yeah, those are going a little over 200. Now they're going for around 160 or so. So
that can't be.
Actually, that's a 20% drop.
For a PSA 10 though. His PSA 10s were like.
Yeah, he doesn't have the grade on here. Oh, these are raw sales. Raw. Sorry.
I was gonna say because his PSA 10s I thought were at one point were $1,000 for just a base card.
Yeah.
That product is so stupid loaded, by the way. That came out in 2016. We were getting those cases from distributors at $552, $554.
I don't know if I want to hear the number you sold it at.
Tatis, Soto, and Vlad all have their first prospect in there. Those things go for more than $500 a box now. I mean, wait, they're probably...
How many boxes are in the case?
12. I would bet those cases do $12,000 to $15,000 on the secondary market right now. Me and my buddy Brew ripped a couple of those, like... Because there's nothing else back then in 2016. The market was different. Can we break even on Bowman? Now it's, can we make 20X? You know what has not dropped? The pollen count. My face feels like I've been rubbed by a freaking cat.
Through it. Go back in the shower as soon as we're done. Drop your phone.
I can do the show from the shower. We talking.
We can both do it. Let's do a shower show. Corey,
video? I don't know if we need video for that.
We'll talk about that later.
So yeah, Tatis, we'll kind of update. We'll keep posted on what happens.
All right.
Hopefully, so do me a favor. Give me stats on the next few guys.
Oh, God.
First guy. Actually, let me ask you this. Hottest player in baseball is Akil Abadu. Do you know who he plays for?
He's not, because I don't know who that is. Oh, so okay. I know that's not accurate.
You have your finger on the pulse.
In baseball?
Badu? Detroit Tigers. You'll find them in the AL Central.
Oh, man.
He's hit again, home run this first at bat, had a grand slam, had a walk-off double after that. He has been absolutely murdering baseball. I told you last show to sell him because he was high. You would have cleaned up had you sold after the Tuesday show. You know, I'm almost to the point now where here's how I go. Could he continue this for a while and go up? Yes. I'm a wins guy for him. Baseball prospecting, I like to just take wins when you get them. I honestly would sell Akil Abadu still. I'm not saying he's not going to continue to hit well and hit home runs and have all this hype. I just, especially if you have raw stuff, I wouldn't take the time to grade it because a lot can change. You know, if he shatters his shoulder blade like Tatis does, then you're done. To me, nobody has big money tied up in the guy because he's been cheap for so long. I would still sell him now. And yeah, it may be a little bit premature, but I'm taking the win. So
seven I don't even RBIs. Care.
Not yeah, he's bad. At seven. What's he got? Two home runs, three home runs?
Two home runs.
And he's batting four? or no?
Four or five.
I mean, again, we're a week in, but the dude, I mean, he can play. I would sell him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You think this is the top? Okay.
No, I don't even think this is the top. I could see him getting higher with time. Again, you can take a clear win. I'm taking it. You know, a lot can go wrong. Baseball's a long season. Eh. The Reds offense, absolutely murdering it. NL Central, we're going to pull up there. Nick Castellanos, Nick Senzel's played well, actually. Another young dude over there. I know I'm forgetting somebody who I shouldn't be. You have to give me the Reds roster here. Their team leaders, especially. Castellanos is tied for
India.
There you go. Johnny India is batting like 450 or something insane. He's out of 2018 draft. We'll talk about him after. India came way down after last season. Yeah. Castellanos, like I said, four home runs. Suarez playing. The whole team, I mean, they're just hitting. They're crushing the ball. I don't know what their total runs are for the season so far, but they're murdering people. I mean, just hitting the lights out of the place. So, you know, if you have, like I said, Nick Senzel's a guy who was high years ago. Kind of 57 injuries.
Runs for the season.
57 runs. Is that first?
I don't know.
That's okay. You're doing great.
Thank you.
Their offense has been absolute fire, though. And they got a bunch of young guys. Nick Senzel's a guy, like I was saying, he dropped off so much after his debut in 2017 Bowman. Definitely room, especially if you're a Cincy guy. You can load up on that dude right now and make some money. India is lower than he was right after debut. Although he's climbed up, people are taking note. There's still some young guys in Cincy you can make money on getting into right now, especially if they keep up this pace for another month. I mean, their stuff will be through the roof.
Okay.
Good for Cincy. Nice to see him win one.
I'm happy for him.
I think he's not winning a whole lot. Well, they are now. They've won three in a row. My Sox. Yeah, we were real high on Chubby Devers and Bobby Dahlbeck.
Yeah, what happened?
Not so much. Little bit of a slow start to the year. So stay the course. Don't sell those guys. Those have both been in straight cash homie because I like both of them. I still like them both. Quite frankly, if anything, I would buy them both now because there's been so many other guys popping out and taking the hype. You know, Otani, Acuna, all these guys who are just through the roof. I don't know. I would still buy. I'm still, anytime I see a decent deal on Devers or Dahlbeck, I'm still buying it.
Is Dahlbeck down? Because I'm just going to say it. I don't know a lot about baseball. His average is, I know, hold on, let me finish.
Okay.
His average is 143. And to me, again, a novice,
well,
that seems low. Is that low, Mike?
It's not great.
It's not great. A good number.
It's not a great number. Yeah.
But you're still a hold.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, they have dropped some. I mean, no one's overreacting, just like panic dumping them. But I still think there's room with both of those guys. And the Red Sox have actually won some games now. I mean, you get swept by the Orioles. Never a good thing. Like, Cal Ripken wasn't walking through that door. Like, what are we doing here? It's swept by the Orioles. It's not a good way to start the year. I still think you just stay the course with those guys.
If you didn't have so much Boston blood in you, would you say that?
Yeah, because again, I think Devers has shown you in the past he can have, I mean, honestly, almost MVP-type numbers. Why would you sell him when he's kind of at a low? And Dahlbeck, I mean, even the experts are very high on his home run potential. So it's kind of like, why sell? I mean, you know,
Slow start. That's what we're saying.
Slow start. Yeah, I just don't think there's any reason to there's no reason to panic over anything after a week. So, yeah, I would just hold him. Again, same thing now for the Colorado Rockies. Pull up the stats. Colorado's in the NL West. Ryan McMahon and Garrett Hampson have been killing it. Hampson had three steals last night, I think. He's playing really well leadoff for them. McMahon is tied for the NL lead as of right now with four home runs. Talk about two guys who neither one had a ton of hype coming up anyways. They certainly have no hobby hype right now. Garrett Hampson's out of the 2016 Bowman class. Ryan McMahon. That's interesting. Ryan, I don't know when
Is it McMahon or Mahone?
I think it's McMahon, isn't it?
M-C-M-A-H-O-N.
Yeah, Ryan. Heck of a guy.
You know Ryan.
Ryan. I also don't know when his rookie year was or when his prospect year was. He's had a couple.
Can we get someone to call in and tell us? If this is a live show. Are we taking callers on this, Corey? Do we have that set up?
Get Corey up
here. Okay.
McMahon.
We're getting there.
I think it might be McMahon.
We'll never know for sure.
Sure. He doesn't know either. I just remember Garrett Hampson, we used to just call the hamster. That dude came out of product all the time and nobody wanted him.
Nice deflection to talking about hamsters.
Sure.
2017, I believe, was his first year. First season, I should say.
I wonder if that was his prospect auto. I'd have to check that up then. I'm curious when his first Bowman Chrome was, because he has the rookie out of 2018, I believe. But he would have had a prospect. He probably would have had a prospect before. Some guys like Rhys Hoskins don't. Yeah, Rhys Hoskins is one of the only big-time guys I can think of who doesn't have a prospect. He went right to rookie. But yeah, those two guys.
He had a 2016. He had a prospect.
So he's 2016 for Ryan McMahon. Garrett Hampson would be 20. Oh, Garrett Hampson was 2016 as well. He was definitely in draft. I want to say McMahon might have been in just straight 2016 Bowman. I had to guess. I don't think he was. Well, they're all going to say Bowman Chrome. It's not going to tell you specific product, though. Either way, both 2016. Both are fairly cheap. You know, McMahon's going to obviously jump way higher because of the power numbers. I actually like Hampson better. I like his name better. I can pronounce it better. I like the upside better for them, too. Almost no movement yet. He's not a big power-hitting guy, but leadoff potential, steals. Hannah's calling. She knows the show's being recorded. What are we doing here, sweetheart?
Oh, my God.
There's a little shout-out for the wife. Love my wife.
Stop. No. She has enough. Okay. No more shout-outs for Hannah.
So, yeah, I like both those guys as well. Again, relatively cheap compared to where they could be. And the Rockies are playing okay. Had just two other quick hits. Bellinger, calf injury. They said it today. It's not super serious, which is good. He's going to miss. He missed yesterday. He'll miss today. The only good thing about that is it'll obviously hold his numbers down some, which they were already. To me, Bellinger, for his level of play, is not where he's supposed to be anyways. His Bowman Chrome auto out of 2015 for a 9.510, still under 1,000. His Topps paper out of 2017, still under 200. I just think there's a lot of good buys with him still. And if they drop any more now, just because of even if he has a short stint on the DL, he's a guy I would absolutely buy short term, like Tatis, if they drop. So,
okay.
Here's one thing I did not pull up. Can you pull up the details of the Sam Darnold trade?
This is the one NFL talk we have.
He got traded like an hour after our show on Monday.
Oh, boy.
Which is why we didn't talk about it on Monday. He got traded to Carolina. Carolina has a much better offense than the Jets. You know, Darnold's numbers will be interesting. Is he going to be their every week starter out there? I mean, they gave up enough where I think he has to be. I know it was draft picks.
Let's see.
Anything popping up for you?
Number 3 overall draft pick.
The audience likes the awkward silence. They do. This is good.
They love it when we're so prepared that we take moments out to figure out what we're doing. Yeah, there's nothing that's like just short and sweet. I'd have to read through some of this stuff. So,
no, brother, this is embarrassing. Well,
then why is it in here?
What kind of a show is this? Well, we have to touch on it for this reason. I think Darnold stuff, I mean, honestly, the Panthers offense again, they have CMC is an unbelievable offensive player. It'll be interesting. I've never been high on Darnold, but then again, it's so hard to judge a quarterback being stuck in the Jets. Like, nothing good is in New Jersey, anyways. So, Jets are otherwise. Okay.
They get a 6th-round pick, a 2nd-rounder, and a 4th-rounder. And I'm sorry, the 6th-round is in 2021 draft.
The other two are next year.
The 2nd and 4th are in 2022.
I mean, that's a decent haul for a guy of Darnold. I got to think they're viewing him as a starter this year then. I mean, that's kind of been the talk. I would think that's... So what does it do to his hobby value? I mean, he is dirt cheap compared to where he was. Again, that's another guy. It's a quarterback in football. If there's any inkling of hype in football, prices move. As we get closer to the season, I'd be curious to see what else they do, but I think Darnold might actually be a decent buy. You know, I could see him putting up decent numbers there. And again, people are just so hungry for the next quarterback because of the Mahomes effect. You could see some movement there. So I'm tired of talking. You know what? The next segment, I named it. I didn't tell you the name of this segment. Okay. Jesse's Time to Shine. We are excited.
Too much. You're putting too much emphasis.
I'm going to enjoy my monster and enjoy your commentary.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey, guys. Oh, boy.
Do you want to start again?
Hey, guys. Tops is going public. Who cares? That's my first question.
You sound like Steve Carell in The Anchorman right now. Like, what are you doing?
That's how I normally talk.
Have you seen the character?
This is the biggest questions I've seen. So what does this mean for the card business? And should I invest in Topps? Let me throw a little bit of information at you first, because some people don't know what's going on. So Topps is not going public as much as they are being bought out by another company that is already public.
Which I didn't know this. This was news to me.
Yeah. So this is what you may have heard of a SPAC. I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but essentially what they are is they're like a shell company. They're just a blank check company that that goes public, starts up, and is intent on acquiring another business that they feel is going to go up in value. And in this case, Topps is that business. They ended up merging, or they are going to be merging, with Mudrick Capital. Now, if you went out to the, Robinhood or whatever platform you use, you can actually pull this stock up. Now you can go ahead and start investing technically in MUDS, M-U-D-S, before they change their ticker symbol over to Top.
So hang on, let me ask you this then. Yeah. Is this the only company they own?
Yes.
So when they change names, they're just going to change to Tops.
Top. Like the ticker symbol will be Top, but yeah. The stock itself will be listed under what is now MUDS going to Top. What's interesting is it has not necessarily skyrocketed. I mean, don't get me wrong, it jumped. So when the announcement came out, because you could have bought into this, you can buy into these SPACs prior to them actually merging and starting another company and, hopefully hit it big. A lot of the electric vehicle companies, that's how a lot of these have come on board so fast. There's been a lot of talk in the stock market about, are SPACs just another bubble? Like, everyone's starting a SPAC. Everyone's trying to get into these. Because by doing this, Topps avoids having to go through all the paperwork, all the time that it takes to actually take your company public.
So in other words, you just, hey, let's go with this MUDS company, because instead of this whole song and dance, bam, we're already there, different name, changing exactly. The future.
Okay. Yeah, skip all the headache. It was trading at $9.90 before the announcement.
$9.90?
$9.90.
Okay.
It shot up to $11 and it hit a high somewhere around 11.70 as of 2 days ago. So that's Tuesday, April 6th.
15%.
Yeah. But now it's back down. It's down actually a little below where it popped up to. It's down to 10.70. So a lot of these will do that, though. A lot of things will spike and then it'll even out over the next few days. But the fact that it didn't spike more than that, I mean, I guess it's not necessarily to say that there's not going to be more hype and more increases. We find out all of what Topps plans on doing. But here's a few points that I got that Topps, one of the reasons why Topps thinks like its valuation is $1.3 billion. Cause that's what this offering is basically valuing them at is going to be $1.3 billion.
Okay.
First off, when Topps is going public, you need to remember that the chairman of Topps is Michael Eisner, who he's the one who essentially got Disney to where it is today. Like, he started with them back in the 80s. And he said, like, their valuation at the time was almost exactly what Topps is now. And now Disney, is, you know, they own Marvel, they own Star Wars. They have become one of the biggest conglomerates in the world today.
Let me ask you real quick, a quick interjection. Was he already the CEO of Topps, though?
Yes. Yeah.
How long is he? Do you know how long he's been in that role?
Since 2007, I believe, is when he bought them.
Okay. So it's because somebody brought this up. The owner's not interrupt real quick. Somebody's like, oh, well, Eisner's behind it. Look what he did with Disney. He's already been there for 14 years.
He has. So it's not like,
okay, so this isn't a brand new change of leadership.
Exactly. Okay. So it's not necessarily brand new. And I think that's kind of reflected in the stock price right now, is why you didn't see, you know, such a huge spike, is just that the valuation, granted, it was already at $9 a share. I think these things usually average somewhere around $10 a share. There's not necessarily a big change. Like, there wasn't a big new thing that's coming out. So the good things, here's a positive thing. So you've got licensing partnerships. They already have licensing partnerships with MLB, NHL, Formula One, Disney, Star Wars, WWE, a few others. They also, funny fact, Topps, 35% of their business. You want to guess where it comes from?
Candy.
Candy sales.
Yeah.
Bazooka Joe and like a
They're huge.
Ring Pop and all
I'm
that
surprised.
Other kind of
I
stuff.
Actually thought it was bigger than that. I thought it was more than 35%.
So that being said, the big things that come to this, the card impact side of things, is that they are basically, their goal is to go 100% digital with their cards. Not to say that they're going to get rid of cards. They're still going to have a card presence, but they want all of this to also have a digital footprint.
NFT.
And so NFT is a logical next step. They've already been doing some digital sales, but now it's going to involve NFT, because this is going to be, you know, hopefully a positive for them, because a lot of people don't realize that with NFT sales, there's technology now that allows for an NFT to be sold, and then the artist, the original artist who created it, have the right to get paid royalties on that, on resales down the line. So if like I sell like that Mickey Mantle card that sold for $5 million, that card probably sold for like a few cents back in the day when it was originally sold. But when it sold for $5 million, Topps didn't see a penny of that. However, now with NFTs, there's technology built into where they could essentially see royalties from these resales down the line. So that's one big positive for going into the NFT space. It's also, you know, they're eliminating some overhead, packaging, printing, things like that.
Okay.
Here, those are the overall positives that are coming with this, and the fact that they're getting a $250 million infusion of capital from merging with this company, with Mudrick Capital.
So here's one thing then. The merging capital, because I'll be honest with you, I've seen way too much made of this merging capital in some respects. It's going to help. $250 million do a lot with. But the first thing I heard is, well, now they're going to go after, they're going to get NFL and NBA licensing. I can tell you right now, from the people I know at Panini, there is no chance in the world Topps is getting licensing in either one of those anytime soon.
Well, so that's the thing. You actually hit right on the first negative that I see here.
There we
is
go.
Possible negatives is licensing agreements. So yes, they have MLB now, but I think that licensing agreement is coming up to an end, or like renegotiations.
They actually just re-signed at the summit maybe 2 years ago, but it was like a 4 or 5 year deal. There's a couple years left.
Well, I know that it's coming up in the next few years, basically. So but that is a concern of just in general, you lose a licensing agreement.
That's
like
the only
MLB.
One they have. Dude, they lose MLB, no Bowman.
That's what I'm saying. Game. Like you lose something like that, that's a big hit. You have competition. There's not necessarily another name like Topps in the card space. I mean, there's Prizm. you know, there are other names in the car space, but Topps is an 80-year-old company.
Right.
It invokes like a lot of nostalgia. However, there is going to be competition in the NFT space, which they are fairly new to. They haven't said anything about like anyone they're bringing on to really help them with NFT, like as far as like big names that make us feel like comfortable that they're moving, they're diving headfirst into this space. So there could be possible competition out there. And here's my big thing about any company that goes from a privately held company to a public company. You are now in the hands of your shareholders. And what that means is you go from a position where you as a CEO or whatever the case may be, have the ability to direct this company where you think it should go to grow. However, when you've got shareholders, when you've got the public opinion out there saying, hey, why is the stock price going down? I need it to go up quarter over quarter. Now, all of a sudden, there's decisions that are being made that wouldn't necessarily have been made if it was still privately held.
So make more product, raise
such
prices.
As make more product. What happens when they're like, oh, well, we're not necessarily making as much off candy sales. I like the NFTs, they're doing okay. But Bowman. Our stock price isn't doing what it should be doing.
Right.
Well, first thing we know that's booming, we know that they increased their sales 23% last year. What's a good way that we could do that even more? Sell more cards.
And yeah, make so I'll more tell cards. You. So that I'll be honest with you, that reason alone, especially on Twitter, some of the blue check marks were excited about this. I tried to ask all of them the same question. Why is it a good thing? And I just got a lot of regurgitated nonsense. No one said anything factual. I'll be honest, this scares me because PSA going public, yes, but was sold to Nat Turner, who's very involved in the card scene already. He understands the need for constraint, right? He can hold that back some.
Mm-hmm.
The top side now, you have it being sold to just a shell company that has no interest in that. I do start to worry now that, hey, instead of producing, you know, 25,000 cases of Bowman, let's just produce 100,000 of them and let's increase the price by 20%. Actually kind of see this could be a negative thing. You got to be careful. All right. So enough about that. So Topps, yeah, I'm kind of on the fence like you. Hit the Brady thing quick. Then we're done with the nerd
talk. Tom Brady NFT platform. There's not a lot to talk about. I mean, we don't really know much about it. It's going to be called Autograph.
It's a company, though. It's not just him producing one of him, like a personal thing. He's established an NFT company. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So This is an NFT company. The only thing that I find really interesting, there's an advisory team of people from like Lionsgate, you know, that's a film company, Apple, Live Nation, DraftKings. They're all getting in on this, but they're just advisory roles. I don't know exactly how that helps other than, you know, maybe some of these guys have some insider information in NFTs that we're not aware of. Hmm. The weirdest thing is that the guy who's like co-chair of this company with Tom Brady is Richard Rosenblatt. He's the former CEO of the company that owned MySpace. He's going to let his son, who's 23 years old, be the CEO of this new company. I don't know.
It seems
interesting.
My dad taught me how to paint a little bit, so that was good.
23 years old, and he's now the CEO of this company. I don't know if I trust a 23-year-old CEO just because he's the son of one of the guys who's throwing money at this. So,
interesting. All right. So, interesting. Yeah, there you go. I mean, the digital thing is becoming more and more relevant, the Topps thing. That's why I'm glad you're here. So, yeah, because I didn't understand the Topps sale at all.
Did you hear that? You're glad I'm here?
You're here for the banter.
Oh, my goodness.
And you're here for the uneducated sports card view. And that's what you give us every week, and it's
so
perfect.
I'm so good at that.
Because I got a couple emails this week, and I addressed them already, and I'll address it again. Somebody even said on Twitter, if Jesse's on the show, I'm done listening. No problem.
Who said that? Why would you say that now?
Fine. Oh, God. My response, though, something else to listen to. So there you go. I got your back. Don't you worry about that.
Well, give me their name.
What's that Twitter handle?
I'm just curious.
Oh, you're doing great. New releases for tomorrow, Optic 2020 Optic Contenders Football. You get two autos in each box. It's going to be $5 to $5.50 a box. I'll say this again, because you don't have a chase of actual just base rookies. You have like some of the insert rookies and the color refractors of them, but you're super reliant on the auto, and it's a big auto checklist. With most products, I'm not chasing this thing as personal boxes. I do like the breaking aspect. It's one of the best looking products of the year. I love it. The autos, especially like the Burrow and Herbert autos, are going to sell through the roof. If you have product that you've gotten on a cheap basis, you know, if you have allocation at distributors, or if you just found some cheap at a local car shop, I'll be honest, like other 2020 products, I love just putting that thing in the attic. Like honestly, 2020 football product to me is almost a vault year product. You have so many good quarterbacks. To me, it's one of those things. If you don't have to open it, don't open it. Because I think you're going to see, especially even when the season starts, the market's still going to be hot then. We're going to have Trevor Lawrence hype, no question. But I think you'll start to see 2021 is even more expensive. Then guys start to look at 2020 and go, man, this is insane. Almost like the effect of 19 to 18 basketball. Like, yeah, Zion and Ja are ridiculous. One year before this, though, Luka is all world and Trae Young's a monster. And all of a sudden, that product just spiked even higher. So I could see a similar effect here happening because, I mean, you've seen Burrow, even Tua and Jalen Hurts as the third and fourth option. And then, of course, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, all those guys in there as well. I like 2020 football products. I don't like it to rip, but if you can get it and hold it, if you have patience, I think it's a good thing. So nice. Let's go back to you. Back to you talking.
Straight cash, homie.
That was tolerable.
They didn't know what was happening. They were like, why is it so quiet?
I didn't think you knew what was happening. They had a look on your face. We're going to go a couple guys we talked about in the open. I went baseball and I went fairly cheap. And we're going to give a little bit of context here as well because we haven't done that. So 2016 Bowman Chrome Raw Autos of Garrett Hampson, the leadoff guy for the Colorado Rockies. As of right now, there were still autos like $12 to $18 on eBay. I think it's a great buy price. Anything under 20, I think it's a good buy. Super low risk because of the price. I would say this, though, like I view most prospects, he's unproven, he's in Colorado, they're not going to compete for anything. If those cards doubled or tripled or anywhere close to that, I would sell out. I'm not holding this guy thinking he's the next Mantle. But I think at under $20, especially in the $15 range, I really like it. You know, and again, people say, oh, well, I'm going to double it and make $15. Cool, so buy 10 of them, and then you can double and make $150. Or, you know, when they double, you make all that money. So I just think percentage-wise, there's a chance that those could very easily double because that is so cheap. I wouldn't waste time trying to grade them. I'm not holding out for this kid to win the triple crown. I just think at some point people will notice him. He'll get there already is some hype there because of Ryan McMahon and what he's doing with the home runs. I think it's a super cheap buy that I would take a shot at. Another one that's a little more expensive now, 2018 Bowman Chrome. It came out of Bowman Draft, but you'll find it listed under Bowman Chrome. Jonathan India, his first prospect auto, a 9.5/10. They were doing like 150 as of a day or two ago. They're up over $200 now. I still like those under 250 if you can find them, and even almost under 300. I think they're going to be. I think we're going to continue to see moves on that. By the time you hear this in the morning, there's a couple auctions ending tonight. I'll be curious where those go. Another guy though, he's not going to bat 480 for the season. It's not Ted Williams we're talking about, but the media is covering the Reds because of the hot start. Their offense has been incredible. India's been a big part of that. He's in the everyday lineup. You know, again, that's another guy. You could easily see that Bowman Chrome prospect auto hit $400 to $500. That's kind of my sell range. I would buy that under 300 with the intent of if it hits about 400, I'm probably moving if I need to. It's a healthy return. You want to get a little riskier with that and see what he does and see what that team continues to do. Maybe you hold till 500 or 600. But to me, those are both pretty decent buys. And I have one more weird one. This randomly popped up. Anthony Davis, his rookie National Treasures patch auto, the horizontal card. So these were selling raw anywhere from like $9,000 to $12,000, closer to $12,000 last year, and even like 8.5 grade or a 9 grade during the championship run, hit $12,000 to $13,000. You can buy a 9.5/10 with a nice patch right now on eBay. PWCC has it listed. Their vault has it listed. I think it's a buy it now at $16,000. If you've got some serious cash laying around, Anthony Davis is coming back. I still think the Lakers are coming out of the West. That's a $25,000 card if they win a championship. You know, $16,000 is not something most people have lying around, but we get some cheap stuff. You want to get really weird with a product and with a card?
I want to get real weird.
Real weird. Anthony Davis, 2013 National Treasures, the actual patch auto. There's a few listed, but the 9.5/10, that's the only gem listed on eBay right now. I don't think that's a bad buy at $16,000. You're not returning your money in a month. I think the only time that really spikes is playoff run after he's back healthy. But you got one for this week?
I do have one. Nice. I've got one. Take it. Yeah, not just anyone. I've got one who is, this is the son of Alars in Susan, also known as the Mad Titan. also known as Thanos.
Oh, so what are you saying?
Mr. Thanos himself, come on down from the Titan moon of Saturn.
The gold glove. We've got he's 1990
dead, isn't he? Marvel Thanos.
Actually, he's not signing anymore.
He's not. That's why you think I chose this card.
How do you hold a pen with that big glove? I don't even know how that works.
You're looking too much into it. He doesn't have gloves on both his hands, idiot.
What if he's a righty? Sorry. Though?
Clear that up. I didn't mean
that. Oh, man, idiot.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that.
Bad word.
Give me the set again.
I'm done jumping all over. Go ahead and give me the whole thing. Give us a
1990 Marvel Thanos card. This is not rated. Is number 79 if you are looking this up on
we are
on PSA.
Yep.
There's 41 of these cards. However, I want to clarify this because I know a lot. I mean, card guys know, but new guys don't.
You get
when
it.
We say like the population's like 41 or whatever the case it may be, that's just what PSA has graded. It doesn't necessarily mean all the cards that are out there. Right. And I specify this because when you go on eBay, there are actually a pretty fair amount of these cards being sold right now that are not graded.
Right. So just something people haven't started grading yet. That's exactly. Why the pop is lower. Sure.
Exactly. And so this is my straight cash homie because the PSA 10 has very recently, within the last few weeks, gone for about $1,100. Actually about a month before that, it was going for about close to $1,500. PSA 9 is going for about $300. However, that's a huge gap, I think, in my opinion, is the PSA 9 to the PSA 10. But the base card itself, I think that there's more room for this card because it's like, especially after the movies, the hype that came with, the hype in the card market, I think that there's actually some room for this card to make some money, especially when you consider all of the base cards, like the ungraded cards right now, that are going for $20.
So you can almost buy, that's almost a card then at that cheap of a price, buy it and submit it somewhere. Obviously not PSA, but.
Well, like, I mean, it's not like this card necessarily is going to lose a ton of value over the next few months. So I'm not saying you couldn't wait till July when PSA hopefully opens back up. But, sure. But, I mean, for $20 and the fact that this thing for PSA 9 is going for almost $300, and a lot of these cards that are being sold, I mean, I have a novice eye, but from what I'm seeing, a lot of these look pretty well centered, not a lot of beat up. It looks like the kids who save these cards are very similar to the ones who saved their baseball and basketball cards in like little nice mint sleeves. I mean, okay. Let's be honest. I don't want to be that guy, but if you collected these cards back in the day, you probably took care of them because
sure.
You had prize a pocket protector. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Like you weren't spending money on a girlfriend. You were just spending money on protecting those cards.
I didn't say that.
I said it. This day in history. 1974, Henry Hank Aaron hits home run 715, which at the time was the record-breaking Babe Ruth's. It's been broken by Barry Bonds since. Interesting, though, I'll say this. We saw a massive spike. By the way, that was what it was. It reminds me. I'll say this too much. It's been brought to my attention. You say essentially too much. During your little tops thing, four essentials.
Dang it. Why are you telling me this now? I would have been counting your I'll say this.
Yeah, you got to be on the ball, pal. It's called market research.
I'm
going back.
I'm going to read.
I bring this up to say Hank Aaron has always, in my opinion, been crazy undervalued. His death, obviously, we saw a super spike in his rookie, the 1954 tops. I still think his 1956 high-grade cards, look at what they are compared to Mantle. I know Mantle was great. I think historically, as many people would say, they'd take Hank as Mantle, if not more. And I'm not even going to get into the debate who was better. I have no idea. It's a totally different game. Never saw either one of them. I don't know. But Hank Aaron was unbelievable for 20 years. I have never understood his market as it relates to other guys, especially as it relates to Mantle. So it is interesting to me. Again, just kind of a reminder, like Hank Aaron, nice graded stuff, vault. I just don't think that's ever going down. Unbelievable hitter. You know, a lot of people still consider him the real home run champ of all time. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Interesting. This day in history that involved Mickey Mantle. So that's weird.
In an escalator or what was it?
the Astrodome. Houston Astrodome opened this day, April 9th, 1965. And Mickey Mantle hit the first home run in that Astrodome on that day. That's a fun fact.
That explains the price discrepancy between him and Hank. Henry never did that. They actually, too, interesting story about those two. One of my favorite vintage cards. I don't love the vintage baseball market itself. I love buying and selling. The 1958 Topps card, the Home Run Heroes card, or Home Run whatever it is, dueling, it's the only card that features both of them on the same card. Hank Aaron and Mickey Mantle. 1958. I'm almost positive it's 1958. I always thought that was an awesome card.
That's cool.
And that's another card to me. I know it's gone way up in value as everything has. I still think that's amazing. Like, those two are like all-time greats. I still think Aaron's very undervalued, so I've always thought that was one of the cooler cards. I have three super quick points, then I want to get a couple mailbag questions. I know we're running over time. All right. 130point.com, a lot of people use that, myself included. Here is a weird fact. It has been down trying to find data lately, and my buddy Josh on Facebook posted this. So if I wanted to look up a 2018 Luka Doncic Prism card, it would come back no results. But for some reason, if you put in Luka Doncic Prism 2018, put the year at the end, for some reason, the numbers at the beginning are misfiring in the search. You simply put it at the end. I did this morning. Huh. Worked perfect. So I don't know.
Message them. Do you have any contacts over there?
I don't even know who it is. No clue. But okay. Just put it at the end. There you go. Also, another interesting thing. My buddy Kyle on Facebook brought this up. Upper Deck is releasing two golf products this year. I guess they haven't released golf in 7 years. Artifacts, and I think the game use set. The reason we're going to see that spike is because there's so many, over the past 5 years, we've seen a bunch of new guys come in who have never had a real authentic Upper Deck licensed rookie card. And one thing that's crazy about that, at one point, boxes, when they came to the pre-sale market, so you could pre-order them, was $129. Now they're $600 to pre-sale, to pre-buy. So I think those are two interesting products people may be sleeping on. You may find opportunities to buy those things. And I think as sealed wax, those would be great products to hold. And then just a quick tease. Next week, I talked to Scott over at Starstock. He's the co-founder. He's going to jump on next week at some point. I got to confirm with Richard Simmons, too, if he's coming on next week. I think we'll have a guest on both shows next week. Hair's on point.
We say Richard Simmons so casually now that I'm afraid people are just going to think Bill, we don't know his name.
If Bill's even listening to the show, he's like, oh, Richard's coming on. Okay, good. yeah, we're talking about Bill Russell, Bill Simmons. So Simmons may join us next week. Scott, it looks like, is going to. So I think we'll actually have some guests for next week. So yeah, there you go.
And there's a surprise guest that I'm trying to get. So
I'm intrigued.
I'm not gonna tell you.
I don't want to know. All right, hit me with some questions. We got to hit a few.
All right, mailbag.
This is off today's Facebook, correct?
This is off today's Facebook. Yes, okay. Sir.
I don't want any of this old crap.
The old crap is just as good.
You could have asked 10 questions already.
Why are some graders better with vintage and others better with modern cards? This is from Grayson Schutzman.
I mean, the only one I can think of that's better with one as opposed to the other is SGC.
I mean, PSA. I think that's what he's referencing.
Yeah, okay. So SGC is really well respected with pre-war stuff, but with new stuff, people don't. Why? Market perception. No other reason. Yep.
Really?
Okay. I don't think their grading technology is all of a sudden different for new stuff. People don't love the new holders, and they just haven't taken.
Yep. Okay.
Jacob. Oh, you know what? Interesting, though, about SGC, I just heard as well.
Uh-oh.
Their rate was $75 a card, which I blasted them over. Apparently, they've reached out to some bulk sub guys, and they offer them at half the price, $37.50.
Whoa.
I don't entirely hate that price of $37.50 for SGC. Not sure why that wasn't in the press release, but that's fine. Although it's probably a terrible look. If you take the work and do it yourself, it's $75. You let somebody else do it so they can make some money. It's only $37. It's interesting. Anyways, go. Sorry.
All right. Jacob Larkey from Facebook says...
Larkey?
I don't know if you're familiar, but he...
Jacob.
He and his wife are having their first kid, a little boy, in the next couple of weeks.
He wants
to set aside some wax for his birth year. Any suggestions? He's willing to spend the money on Prism basketball, but is this the year to
stop bragging about your kids, Jacob? I have two dogs, okay? My dogs are as great as any child. I actually know Jacob from the break room, too.
Oh, God.
I'll be honest, 2020, to me, I wouldn't... Basketball Prism's crazy, and, you know... I don't hate 2020 football. In particular, the one we joked about earlier, 2020 Contenders football is cheaper now than it's ever been. If I was going to put aside a couple boxes, I would put some of those aside. I still have cases in the attic that I will not sell, probably not until, you know, long term. I actually think 2020 Contenders, it's a decent buy right now, and I think because of the quarterback star power, it's an awesome one to put away. Name your kid Brady. It's a boy, right?
He said, boy.
Brady Larkey. Brady, here's your name. Four names always does better. Brady, nope. Michael, Paul, Larkey.
You're giving your full name, first, middle, and last. There it is, people. Look him up. Brett Hollimore from Facebook says, hey, Mike, I have kids. Any value in sets? He doesn't have kids. I just threw that
in there. Probably does. He sounds smug. He's got children. Yeah, of course. Just depends on what the set is. I mean, like, some guys still mess around with, like, the super cheap base sets that have some variations. You know, there's some there, but, like, autograph sets still carry a lot of weight. Sets that have, you know, older sets, 03 tops, chrome, iconic sets with iconic rookies, tons of value. You know, I'll say this, though. Some people hold on to sets thinking they're going to be more valuable when, realistically, if, like, sets in the 2000s, if there's one card in particular that sells really well because it's that one-star rookie, if you're looking just for monetary return, pull the star card, the rookie that's doing all that value, grade that card and sell it. Don't worry about breaking up the set, because a lot of times that individual card, just graded by itself, is going to sell for almost the full weight of the set. Then you just piece out the set for cheap.
Okay. Mike Tucker from the Facebook says,
second question from Tucker. He's a personal friend.
He's always on here. And he actually has some good questions. They're not too long. Listen, guys, if you put a question that's too long, I don't use it because I don't
paragraphs are rough. Yep. I love you. Even the emails. We love when people email the show, sportscardsnonsense@gmail.com.
The longer some of these guys
write 40s. Yeah, if there's more letters in
which
your
is great.
Emails than the email address itself. Yeah, 97 pages. Even the interns aren't reading. That's tough. Okay,
we love that you care.
What's the Tuck saying?
Mr. Tucker says, another which farewells guy with kids are junk and which ones are top-notch? Or does it just depend on the player on the card?
Yeah, I mean, first rule of thumb, player on the card. For new parallels, though, a lot of it has to do with the numbering or the stated print run. You know, you may get a blue parallel one in every 400 packs, but the green parallel is one in every 8,000 packs. Scarcity, the rarity of it. But of course, player has a lot to do with it. Yeah, that's a very vague question to it. A lot of it just depends. A lot of parallels are numbered these days. The ones that are non-numbered, just the straight SP or SSPs, those are the ones that you have to really do some research on. You know, how rare are they?
Adam Biedling from Facebook says, as the overall card market grows, do you think there will be a trickle-down effect where we see more interest in non-quarterback vintage football cards, i.e. Randy Moss, Lawrence Taylor?
Actually, that's a good question. I absolutely think so. Some of the best buys in the market, in my opinion, right now are running backs for the vintage card market. Walter Payton, Jim Brown. I think Jim Brown is still the best. If you have money to invest in longer term, which actually, this was a question. Somebody said, you know, can we do some straight cash homies for now? What about some of these vault predictions? I forget who asked that on the Facebook,
the Facebook.
Like Jim Brown rookies, graded Jim Brown rookies to me, maybe the best investment for a 3 to 5 year window. But yeah, I absolutely think so. Newer market, no. But for vintage football, even Jerry Rice stuff, you know, Jerry Rice is not coming down in value. And Randy Moss is kind of the newest of those that I would invest in still. Anything newer than Randy Moss, really tough. But Moss out of the 1998 class, I've got some nice Randy Moss stuff, and I don't plan on selling it. I have a PSA 10 Topps Chrome and a 9.5 Bowman Chrome Refractor. I got those. The Chrome was only like $750, and the Bowman Refractor was like $1,800. I think that's crazy underpriced. Randy's unbelievable and still in the public eye. So, yep.
That was James Darcy who said that. That you were referencing.
Sure.
Pride and
Prejudice.
I think I got two more here.
All right, go ahead.
You want to hit them? All right.
Michael
GSF. The end of his question says, please don't butcher my name. Well, he spelled my name with an I, so that's it, Michael. You're getting it.
J-E-S-S-I?
Yeah, J-E-S-S-I-E. So it's upsetting. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Michael Janashvili.
Is it J-A-N-A?
J-A-N-A.
This is Mikey J. I like him. Mike's been a buddy of mine for years on Facebook. I've never said his name because I just say Mikey J because I have no clue.
Mikey J.
What does Mike want to know? Anything he wants.
Stephon Marbury and Jason Kidd. Are they worth investing?
Kidd, yes. Marbury, no. Yep. Hmm. I don't. People ask about Marbury a lot too because of the ties to the Asian market. I just don't. It hasn't had an effect yet. I don't think it will. Jason Kidd, though, top 10 point guard of all time, still relevant in the coaching scene some, too. I like Jason Kidd. I think he's still a decent buy out of the 1994 class. I would focus on his rookies, But yeah, kid out of 94, solid.
Yep. Okay.
Mikey J is good people. Don't butcher that name, dude.
I didn't. I
always call him Mike Janashville, but that is not even close to his name.
That looks really
good. Is that it?
Yep.
Is that how you say his name?
William Brossett from the Facebook.
Drop the.
Is it true you are selling a lump of cards right now, not because of buying a house, smokescreen in parentheses, but to actually go big into Tom Brady's new NFT service autograph?
It is. I'm selling my house to go into that, actually.
That's it? You doing that, bro? You love Tom.
I like Tom. Some people have asked me about that legitimately. I'm not buying anything NFT. I don't care about it. And again, I think NFT will thrive and do great on its own. I think it will do that largely separate from the card space. You know, originally it was like these athletes are going to get involved and the card guys are going to shift their money and focus to that, or they're going to shift to Top Shot. I think both NFTs in general, Top Shot will do great. All these things will do great, not because it's being financially supported by the card hobby. I just think they're very different. I think people are starting to see that. And also, out of spite, I'm so sick of like the influencers telling me NFT is the future, NFT is everything.
We almost made it without a rant.
And you know what? It may be huge and do great and be awesome. That's fine. I just don't care about it. And I know a lot of people who do not care about it. There are tons of people who do.
Who are they?
Name them. Mikey Janashville. It's just one of those things. It's like, if you don't have any interest in it, at this point in my life, where I'm at financially, I don't chase things that I don't have interest in because I don't want to. You know, and everybody's bragging about their kids. I'll brag about my dogs and money. There you go. Yeah, you wouldn't understand. You're a father. You'd be quiet.
I don't have a dog, though. So
the only thing, I'll say this, number 19 of the show. Somebody said I'm taking a shot every time I say that term. A person is unconscious right now. And the essentially person, dead.
Oh.
The only thing about it, though, that I don't like, I get sick of something that comes out. I think it's pretty clear and pretty widely accepted. NFT is going to be a hugely growing market, right? So why do I have to keep hearing influencers every tweet, every message, everything's about it, like how great it's going to be? It's like, who are you convincing? Everybody kind of accepts that it's going to be a big thing in a huge market. I just get sick of people telling me I have to be involved. Like, you got to be into this. If you're not in, you're missing out. Okay.
Simmons is texting you right now. He just listened to the show and he's like, enough with the NFT talk, Mike.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I don't care about it. So,
yeah, we're still going. Okay.
There you go.
It's okay.
I'm getting real sick of your attitude.
You know what?
I was in a bad mood to start. You've cheered me up today. You've done well.
Very glad. Hey, before you go in your outro to end this episode, guys, if you're listening and you haven't already, will you do me, Jesse, JG Assemble? Come on. Will you go out to our social media and give us a like or a follow?
Where do they
find
us?
Maybe even a comment? Find us on multiple platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and that big old Facebook group. Come on down. We'd love to have you.
Sports, cards, nonsense everywhere. Your face is disturbing right now. I'll be honest with you. This is the first show we've done this week, too. There it is. Here's the even more disturbing face of yours. Nothing interesting on Twitter today. I was kind of searching the feed when you were yammering on about whatever you were talking. Not a whole lot.
That's okay. But there will be as soon as all of the listeners go on there and leave us a comment and a like.
You know what else I've been told we're supposed to start asking for? If you listen to the podcast, preferably on Spotify, but if you listen to Apple, iTunes, wherever else,
send us money on PayPal.
Leave a review. You're supposed to do that.
Oh, yeah, do that, please.
Yeah. We've reached out to some guests. Like I said, hopefully Simmons next week. Hopefully Scott from Starstock. We're going to start sprinkling in some more guests. Is this 3 or 4 in a row for just me and you?
I don't know. I've been blacking out on most of these episodes. So
I'm also going to see it. Your best work is when you're blacked out, I think some would say. I'm also going to try to reach out to Feinsand again. I want to get a baseball guy in here again at some point. For like an end of show, 10, 15 minute, like, hey, what's hot? What are we missing in baseball type of topic? And then as we
don't
get closer
baseball
to
baseball on YouTube, though.
Oh, my
they
God.
Don't like it. Don't
put
like
anything on YouTube. I don't like YouTube. So that's your show, Sports Cards Nonsense. He is Jesse. No I. I am Mike. One I. Thanks for listening. See you guys Tuesday. Later.
You have two eyes, Mike.